Well, hello everyone. It's office hours at a later time than usual. Usually it's a Tuesday show. This week, because of all the special streams, it is a Thursday show. There are absolutely tons of super thanks and things to catch up on, which I have got loaded up here. And before we get going, one significant piece of news that you'll all be glad to hear is that I finally cracked Ilioron and went and bought a 10 meter Ethernet cable. So my internet signal is now completely solid as per the weakness that it's been showing recently. So I shouldn't have any more problems. I shouldn't have any more issues. I was noticing that my laptop was on full signal, my phone was on full signal, the TV was, but for some reason my desktop, my main PC here, was only on like one or two bars. So I was like, right, I'm just going to get an Ethernet cable to sort this out. The recent issues, maybe it's been caused by the hot weather, who knows. But now I shouldn't have them again because I now have this Ethernet cable. Smoking a cigar, second one of today. The one you saw in the video earlier on was a Juan Lopez number two. This is Fonseca Cosacos. I smoked a lot of cigars this week. I did three cigars yesterday as well. Punch 48, Upman Connoisseur 1. I'm trying to remember the first one that I smoked yesterday as well. I've been on a bit of a cigar binge this week. But if you can hear a bit of a whir in the background, it's my fan because it's bloody, it's starting to heat up again. But just before we get going, and as people are trickling in, I'll remind everyone, it's the summer sale. We're set to be 33 degrees on the weekend. So truly, it's a scorcher. And I think tonight, after I go home, I'm going to book some sort of beachside holiday where it's in the low 20s because I cannot stand it. As soon as it hits 25, 26, I start losing the will to live. So I'm going to I went away last weekend to avoid the heat wave. I'm going to go away this weekend as well. So yes, pick up your courses, promo code Scorcher. And when I come back, I'm briefly going to talk about a coda on the recent conflict, which is Netanyahu's political fortunes, Trump's statement on his impending trial, which is due to start very soon, and his chances of staying in power. Also, the Ayatollah has resurfaced today. I'll hit all of that. But first of all, buy courses, ladies and gentlemen. The mega bundle, if you get the mega bundle, which is all of my courses in one massive package, all of the ones I've done, apart from Foundations of Shakespeare is not in that one, right? But all of the other courses, apart from the Shakespeare one, it's all in one package. And then you apply the Scorcher and you're getting a massive saving if you do it that way. So that would be, when I do my sales, mega bundle is the one pick up anyway. It's the Academic Agency Summer Sale. Use the promo code SCORCHER. 25% off all courses. SCORCHER. Get it now. SCORCHER. 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 Promo code SCORCHER. 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 Buy it now. All right, so if you've missed the news today, Netanyahu, Trump came out and made a statement on behalf of Netanyahu, basically saying that his trial, which is for corruption, he's on corruption charges and fraud charges within, he's been put on trial in Israel by his opposition in Israel. He's been accused of accepting bribes, been accused of forcing the media to give him good coverage, and several other kind of dictator-like things. And Trump is calling it a witch hunt. And he's said, like, after all they've been through together, my great buddy BB, he needs, you need to stop this, drop the trial. And within Israel, according to the Times of Israel and the Jerusalem Post, which I'm looking at now, they're saying this is unprecedented. Trump should stop interfering in Israeli politics. I mean, talk about irony, eh? Talk about irony. They are sticking by their guns, though, and they're saying that the trial is going to go ahead as things stand. Also, Netanyahu has requested for a two-week delay to the trial, citing security concerns after the Iran-Israel war and the ongoing Gaza crisis. He's saying, look, I'm too busy to, you know, the country's in an emergency. I'm too busy to have a trial. So he's trying to get out of it. Some media outlets are saying that Netanyahu has had a popularity bump. He's actually had a bump in the polls owing to, you know, I remember yesterday I was talking about the rally round the flag effect in Iran. Well, a similar thing has happened in Israel. And that is why, basically, Netanyahu keeps these wars going. He's always getting into these emergency type situations, because one part of it is that he's just continually trying to keep out of jail, trying to stay in power, trying to time elections and so on to coincide with his bumps, and using wars and getting into wars actually as a method of kind of maintaining tempo in domestic politics. Frankly, I find it insane, borderline criminal, that this one man can basically hold the entire world to hostage and continually threaten World War III for the sake of his own domestic political survival. But there we are. And if there was any question about Trump betraying Netanyahu, well, he's put pay to that with this really quite sycophantic, groveling, pathetic statement that he's made today. Basically saying, like, oh, you know, we're in it together, BB. It's a witch hunt, blah, 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 blah. Right. So trying to get basically the American public on side with the political fortunes of Netanyahu. Trying to make him a face in the MAGA coalition, basically. How well that works, I don't know. Personally, I don't know anyone who likes Netanyahu, like anyone at all. The only people I know who like him, there was that very annoying guy who was banned ages ago who called himself the Mossad, right? Do you remember him? He likes Netanyahu. And Easter Gammon worshipper, one of the main Tory boys, he sees Netanyahu as a kind of Caesar figure. But, you know, in terms of like actual like normal people who aren't like people like Ted Cruz, politicians and so on, I don't know anyone who likes him at all. So there we go. Trump is humiliating himself for Netanyahu. All right, so that was a very quick kind of summary of the Netanyahu situation. Also, the Ayatollah is back. He came back on Twitter, and he also released a video message. We don't know where he is, but he released a message like hailing a great victory. And I can read you some of the comments that Ayatollah has made on Twitter. He has said, he started tweeting again today, and he said, Imam Khomeini's important televised message will be released in minutes. I offer my congratulations over the fallacious Zionist regime. With all that commotion and all those claims, the Zionist regime was practically knocked out and crushed under the blows of the Islamic Republic. My congratulations on our dear Iran's victory over the U.S. regime. The U.S. regime entered the war directly because it felt that if it didn't, the Zionist regime would be completely destroyed. It entered the war in an effort to save the regime but achieved nothing. The Islamic Republic delivered a heavy slap to the U.S.'s face. It attacked and inflicted damage on Al Udeid Air Base, which is one of the key U.S. bases in the region. The fact that the Islamic Republic has access to key U.S. centers in the region and can take action whenever it deems necessary is a significant matter. Such an action can be repeated in the future too. Should any aggression occur, the enemy will definitely pay a heavy price. The US president stated Iran must surrender. Needless to say, this statement is too big to come out of the US president's mouth. That's basically what the Ayatollah has said today. So, where he is exactly still is anybody's guess. But I did watch the video footage, and it does appear that he referenced things that have happened in the past couple of days. So we can only, unless it's AI, it didn't look like it. I can only assume it's real, unless they've got really very good AI. It seems like he is alive. So that answers that question as well. Okay. Let us now have a look at some super thanks. There's tons of them. There's absolutely tons of them. So that's why I'm starting them early. And we're going to do them to a finish, even if it goes on for 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours. I'll just keep on going. I shouldn't take that long if I bang through them. So, and I should mention before I get going, on Twitter X, and I'll just share my Twitter X profile here in the chat. I now can accept subscribers, right? Subscribers. And I have said that if I can get into double digits of subscribers, I've got 3 so far. If I can get up to 10 paid subscribers, I will start a special variety show on there where I'll do fairly regular streams. I don't know when, I'll do them quite regularly. And then, if they go well, I'll upload some of them on here as well for members here. So that's something that you can do. That will be truly a variety show. I'll do all sorts of things. One of the things I want to do is watch the old Harry Hill show, for example. There's lots of random old stuff I want to watch. And you can't really do that on YouTube due to copyright, but you can do it on there. So, all right. Let's carry on. So Cephalopodo says, what's the Iranian elite's point of view of the current situation? The people getting tired of the regime is promising, yes. But of course, we know it's not up to them if something changes. What keeps the Iranian elite loyal to the regime? Well, the fact is that they owe their power and position and their money and their livelihood to the regime. That's how all regimes basically keep their supporters in line. Because the supporters get gibs, the supporters get power and privilege and status. And there is a core in the country, maybe 10, 15% of hardcore support, just like Donald Trump has got his hardcore MAGA base, right? There is a hardcore base for the Ayatollahs in the country who are genuinely paid up ideologues. When I say paid up, they believe it, some of these people. They're committed to the revolution. Yeah, it's a combination of the usual things that keep elites loyal, and genuine ideological fervor on some of their halves. The old school monarchist says the U.S. successfully became an empire with a war with a confederacy, which wasn't a civil war between two nations. The collapse of the British Empire was the worst outcome for the American Empire. America was founded on isolationism and succeeded as an empire with isolationism. We lacked the centuries of experience the British had, nor did we have any reason to use the British framework for a global empire, and here we are. We're overseas without a clear purpose, but we do it because our doctrine is an irrational version of the British doctrine. I don't necessarily disagree with any of that. I do think that the British generally were better at these sorts of things than the Americans are. Objectively speaking, they were just better at these sorts of machinations. Maybe it was because of experience. Maybe it's because Americans don't really have an interest, but they were just better at it. My view of the British Empire is that it was very well run. One of the things that the British Empire did very well was balancing the books. It maintained balanced accounts on all its colonies. Whereas America runs the biggest credit line the world's ever seen, so even just on an economic score alone, I think the British Empire was extremely well run. Redacted Brainwave says, I couldn't catch you live, AA. Here is a token of my appreciation. Well, thank you very much, sir. Raina says, only those affected will care. The neocons face the force. So that these are all on various different videos from this past week. I'm not going to read out which ones. This was on the brazen neocon takeover of MAGA. He says, only those affected will care. The neocons face the force that thwarted their previous attempts to overthrow Iran. France installed the Ayatollah, so the truth is unknown. Most people don't care about politics or are politically exhausted. Real-world MAGA supporters are a small minority. Do you believe you're immune to social media algorithms favoring your existing interests? I do believe I'm immune, Studio Rainer, I do. I'm not saying I'm better than everyone else, but in a way I am. Protocol says, I wonder if you could analyze your dad's theory that continued bombing will provide an opportunity for certain elements within Iran to depose the current regime. It seems to me historically that wars conducted by one nation consistently unite the internal factions of the defending nation, and even worse, have a habit of disaffecting the people under the perpetrating government. I can only assume these sentiments become exaggerated over time. Well, the war did strengthen the IRGC, the younger guys in the IRGC, who are, you know, they're a part of the Ayatollah's coalition, but, you know, there's the clerics and then there's the military IRGC guys. They have increased their power over the past week. So that happened. I don't think that I think the activist class, the people who wanted the Shah, the old Shah back, the dissidents against the regime, they all took like a massive, massive L over the whole thing. Anglo Stone says, I think you're spot on, AA, about this being a WWE geopolitical event. Iran gets to prove its regional power and Israel benefits, since nobody is talking about Gaza or Palestine anymore. And Netanyahu's bump for the election and his trying to weasel out of the trial, don't forget, as well. Both sides win, at least for Iran and Israel. However, there does seem to be a dispute amongst the elites in the US. If I were to guess, it's the financial elites who are in conflict with the neocons. Hard to do business with China when your government is threatening war with China. I'll just mention a couple of weird little details, weird unexplained details that are kind of coming to light as I've listened to more stuff. One of the things is that it does appear that every aspect of the strike on the nuclear facilities is fake, right? I mentioned before that they hit Firdow with 12 bunker busters. I have now, watching more stuff, come to accept and realize that they didn't. They only had two B-2 bombers there, and those B-2 bombers can only take two bunker busters each. So the maximum amount of bunker busters that could have been fired is four, right? I thought they took a fleet of six B-2s there. Actually, it was only two. And so the images that you see where the ground is peppered and it's got holes in it, that was actually done by Tomahawk missiles, which are not used for bunker busting. They literally just, you know, they can just like, you know, they can just hit the ground and make dust come up and so on. Another thing that has emerged is that the Iranians actually caved in the entrances of Firdow before they left. That's another thing that has come out. A third thing is that, do you remember I mentioned there was the fourth nuclear facility down the south that was not hit? And I said the reason it wasn't hit is because it was live, and if you know, they don't want to spread uranium all over the Middle East. Well, I have since learned that another reason they didn't hit it is because the Russians are down there. The Russians are actually there with their anti-air. And apparently the Russians had offered the Iranians the similar anti-air kind of units all over the place, and they said they didn't want them, right? Which again suggests, so the reason that, what I'm saying is, the Americans didn't touch that one, not only because there's uranium there, but because the Russians were there and they didn't want to touch any Russians, right? So that is something else I didn't know, up until past day or so. Another thing is that the Chinese are a little bit more involved with this than it appears, and they have actually been supplying Iran with all sorts of things. There are a few cargo planes coming from China that kind of disappeared off the radar. Like, they saw them flying in and then they disappeared. And since the ceasefire, the Iranians have been in China, probably buying planes. There's this certain type of Chinese jet that they're frantically buying at the moment. So the Chinese seem a little bit more involved in this than meets the eye. All of these things I didn't know. And it also makes me wonder, right, if you have a look at the rapidity of the ceasefire and the change in Trump's rhetoric, it appears that Trump may have had a line into the Chinese, because the Chinese are said to be the ones to have stopped Iran closing down the Strait of Hormuz. If they had closed down the Strait of Hormuz, that would have been an economic catastrophe, and obviously Trump would have got the blame for it. So that's one thing that the Chinese did. But immediately after the ceasefire, Trump came out and said, oh, China, right? He lifted various sanctions on Iran and also said China can go back to buying oil from Iran. And he's set to lift a couple of other further sanctions, which suggests that Trump actually did some sort of deal with Iran, right? So the details are emerging. And it appears that when people talk about kayfabe on the nuclear sites and on the response, it really, really does seem to be proper pro-wrestling carny bullshit, because nothing else can really explain what's happened. And it may all be as simple as this was engineered to try to get from the Israeli side and from Trump's side to try to get Netanyahu out of this trial, or to try to get him, like, maintain his power in some way. That is why some people are doing the take of the Iran-Israel war never took place. I noticed Aaron McIntyre had a stream on that yesterday. Old school monarchist says our foreign policy seems to think of America as an island empire focusing on maintaining control over Eurasia. Our think tanks are more concerned about who controls Crimea than the existence of Mexico. Isn't British industrial doctrine unique to Britain? Or can American elites recognize that America is not an island and correct this situation? I actually think that American foreign policy is based on a kind of crazy doctrine where they want to control every space. They want to control Europe. They want to control Asia. They want to control the Middle East. They want to control Southeast Asia. They want to control Latin America. They want to control Africa. And I think this doctrine was developed in the aftermath of the Cold War in what they call the unipolar moment. I forget the guy's name now. Big, big, long name beginning with B. But it's his doctrine. Brzezinski, something like that. And the way it's been explained, and again, I'm not a kind of, a massive nerd of geo strategy or anything like that. But my understanding from, reading around and listening to lots of streams and things, is that it's like they're playing chess, but you don't, like, there's nobody sitting across the table. Right? You play chess, but you concentrate only on your own game. The thinking of the opponent, what the opponent is up to, what the opponent is doing, does not enter into the thinking. It is predicated on, like, absolute supremacy. This is my understanding of this Brzezinski guy. And that has been the doctrine, at least since the mid-90s. Studio Reina says, Austria-Hungary is probably the best example of a successful multicultural empire. And the issue in Austria-Hungary was always ethnic base, or perhaps was the excuse to break it up. Well, it is an example of a successful multi-ethnic empire, but there are others too. I mean, Persian Empire was multi-ethnic. Ottoman Empire was multi-ethnic. Roman Empire was multi-ethnic. Pretty much all empires are multi-ethnic, to be honest. And I mean, looking back in history, like in 300 years' time or 500 years' time, let's say, people will look back at now and they won't say, the American Empire didn't work. They'll say, well, it did work until it didn't. Every empire works until it doesn't, right? We'll continue. Anglo-Stone on the Ted Cruz video says the majority of Americans don't care whether or not there's a war, but they too care how it'll affect the economy and investments. The damage Trump has done to the military with a pathetic military parade, ICE, and dying for Israel is truly astonishing. Not enough people are getting a piece of the war pie, so people don't support it. But it's definitely not about how many troops will die. Why would you join the military to begin with? My understanding is that with Americans, they're up for the war sometimes. They can be really up for the war until Americans start dying. And then they very quickly get cold feet and start to protest about it. That was the experience in Vietnam. That was the experience in Iraq. That was in Afghanistan. And, you know, so they very quickly, the public sentiment turns against the war. Korea as well, to some extent. This is just what Americans are like for some reason. They don't like taking damage. They don't like taking losses, which, again, you could say shows a lack of let's contrast it with what we've seen in some of the jihadis, for example, who don't worry if somebody gives their life or somebody's been killed. They say, well, a martyr has given themselves to the cause. Whereas Americans really don't like it if soldiers are killed in the line of duty for some reason. And I don't know what that is in mindset terms. Studio Reina says totalitarianism equals fascism, socialism, and idealism, and relies on feminism. So I suppose it would be inaccurate to state that Mussolini was the chief architect of the ideology that would form the post-war consensus. If the state controls the women, they control the men, which classical liberals weren't prepared to challenge. Mussolini won. This is on an extremely old video called Is Fascism a Form of Socialism? I'm talking like 2016 era, Stevie Arena. I would agree with you that that women set a moral tempo on the ground level. So it is a key to capture the kind of hearts and minds of women for any regime. I would agree with that. Who's on last week's Deepest Law, what was the fighting for in Afghanistan, says, I'd be very keen to see you review The Money Masters 1996, especially if you bring along some economically minded friends like Dan. Okay. Aura 8 says, thanks. On the same video, have you read Blue Blood on the Mat on the prehistory of pro wrestling? Athlete and Oakley, if I remember, well worth it. Shows how all roads lead to Rome, in a sense. I haven't read that one, but I have read quite a few books on the history of pro wrestling and on the prehistory of pro wrestling as well. He also says the Wahhabi links are well known, but the Ahmadi links are not less important. This Pakistani strain, dating back to the Khilafat movement, has regional traction. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Cephalopodo, again on a very old video called The Return of Traditionalism, Why Society Craves the Old Ways, says, AA, I have a problem. Ever since I learned about traditionalism from you, my heart instantly knew it was the way, capital T, capital W. Especially since I've been separated from my homeland by life's circumstances, which has made me see the value of cultural identity. My problem, I know I carry the essence of my nation, but the current values of my country are deeply rooted in liberalism, overflowing in boomer truth, and affirming of civic nationalism and overall Americanization. What to do? One can't just change their culture for another like a coat, but affirming these values does not sound like a genuine service. Ride the tiger or become a cultural activist. But what I would say is that if you truly understand what Gwinon and Evola and so on are talking about when they talk about capital T tradition, they're not really talking about any particular tradition. They're not talking necessarily about your Americanized liberal culture. What they're talking about is the one true, absolute, universal truth. You know, the nature of the divine, the transcendent truth, if you want, capital T. So what they recommend doing is finding a capital T tradition and following it. Now, I'm not talking about an exoteric tradition, like just joining a local church or something like that. I'm talking about an esoteric tradition. And there are many esoteric traditions that you can go and discover. Every religion has an exoteric form and an esoteric form. For example, there are the different strands of Islam, right? But there's a Sufi Islam, and strands of Sufi Islam are the esoteric core. In the West, obviously, there are all the different types of Christianity, but there are also Western mystery traditions that you could find and discover. And this is really what Gwinon and Evola are talking about when they're talking about rediscovering traditions, right? So it's not like, oh, just go and join the Catholic Church. You need to find the esoteric core of what the Catholic Church is. And some people have done that, you know, and it should manifest itself by, like, you know, Gregorian chants and incense and all the rest of it, the full regalia, if you're doing it properly. I'm not going to tell you, you know, which of the world's traditions to find. But the important thing is, which whatever it is, whether you become an initiate or a self-initiate, is that you you find a way of connecting yourself with the universal absolute, the everlasting yea, as Thomas Carlyle called it. And you connect yourself with the reality beyond the material reality that everybody in our current moment believes in. You get beyond the material world. And again, it doesn't really matter how you do it. You can become a pagan. You can become some sort of weird Neoplatonist if you want. I don't really care. The fact, because they're all pointing to the same place. And when the perennialists talk about capital T tradition, they're talking about that, which actually goes beyond the kind of it goes beyond a kind of cultural chauvinism, or just like the kind of, you know, the history of your nation or the history of your people. Obviously, those things are important too, but when we're talking about capital T tradition, that is what we're talking about. And when you get in touch with that capital T tradition, it will give you the inner steel. It will give you the control over yourself and over your relationship with the world and everybody around you and your kind of inner being. It will give you control over all those things so that you're no longer affected by the things that affect everybody else. Because if you're reacting, you're losing, right? So it kind of need to get to a frame when we talk about ride the tiger. Imagine yourself surrounded by a force field, by like a bubble. Right. And all of the shit of the world is trying to, like, you know, whether it's some troon or some like a bit of depravity that you come across your timeline or whatever bullshit. OK, it all just bounces off this fall. It just bounces off. There's nothing that can penetrate the defense that you've built up. This is ultimately where you need to get to have the kind of resolve to become, you know, the man among the ruins. This is what they're talking about, ultimately. Hopefully that is helpful. If people want me to talk more about that, I can maybe hit touch on it in another stream, or maybe I'll do another trance or shorts when the weather's not so hot. Studio Reina says, what I've noticed is the difference is whether people are aware of said inequality or not. This is again on an ancient video called "The Inequality Matters: Why Inequality Matters Less Than What You Think." The one is exposed to a billionaire lifestyle, the greater the inequality seems. This especially applies to women due to social media. Well, what you're talking about there, Studio Rainer, is what leftists call relative inequality, right? Relative inequality. So what matters is less the absolute terms and more just what the gap is between different groups, right? And how big they perceive that gap. So it doesn't really matter if you've got access to iPhones and lots of food and so on. If the guy next to you is living in a 15-story mansion, that you're going to perceive a massive inequality between yourself and that person. He also says on ancient videos, this video is called "Is a Liberal Arts Degree Worth It? Second Reply to Coach Redpill." My gosh. He says, what do you think about more women graduating than men now? Women are easier to market to. Well, what I think about it is this. I've talked before about something called the pineapple effect, right? The pineapple effect. Back in the old days, it was very hard to get hold of pineapples, right? It was very hard to get hold of pineapples. So hard was it to get hold of pineapples that people would display pineapples on their mantelpieces and on their shelves. And they'd actually let they'd keep them there so long that the pineapples would go rotten because they wanted to show people they could get a pineapple. Eventually, due to the industrialization and specialization under the division of labor and all those great things, eventually pineapples became two a penny that you can buy them for about 10 pence in a can. You could buy a tin of pineapples for about 10p. And nobody was putting cans of pineapple that cost 10 pence on their shelves because it was no longer a status symbol. It had lost its value. So it is with the pineapple. So it is with anything. You reduce the barrier to entry. You democratize it. You make it more freely available. And lo, the value goes down. Hence, I saw a post the other day of a female graduate who had, she'd done a good degree. She'd been to the University of Swansea and she had had, she'd done a degree in accounting and she had had something like 356 rejection letters trying to get a job. 356. So this principle is well known and it was well known to the economists. It was well known to a certain Richard Cantillon, he of Cantillon effect fame, when the French government, issued an edict where the French government was going to, train so many people to be, I think it was like sailors or something, right? And then there was a massive overproduction of sailors and they couldn't get jobs in sailing. Right. So this effect is well known. That's all they've done. They funnel tons of women, tons of people in general into these and they've devalued the degrees. Right. So it's actually just a marker that a degree is less useful and less of a status symbol than it used to be. And I say that as somebody with more degrees than I know what to do with. Anti-Human says, I don't understand how you clearly understand elite theory, but fail to see how Judaism inherently forms organized minorities, and that's how they win. Choosing not to join the superior side is a dumb decision. But we aren't winning because we live in Israel. It's exploiting the Christian Zionists, organized lobbying, and the military-industrial complex. It's that simple to obtain the second passport in a fairly well-run European country. AIPAC does not control Congress. It's just that the Congress members want to make money like everybody else. If you understand elite theory, this should be pretty obvious. To be honest, I didn't understand anything you said. It just sounded incoherent to me. I just don't understand what you're talking about when it came to this. I have never said that, minority groups don't form organized minorities. and I would include the one that you mentioned there. I've never said that. Clearly, they work as an organized minority and they use bribery, blackmail and blowjobs to control their network. And I do believe that the lobby group you mentioned does control Congress using those methods. I rest my case. Now, that is not the entirety of that ethnic group that you're referring to. It is actually a special interest group committed to capital Z ideological Zionism. Jackson says, "Hello, AA. I am an avid watcher of this channel from England. I am a university student who has become utterly fed up with the Tories and the regime mentality towards the world order. And frankly, I am glad to see it struggling to keep itself in one piece in 2025. The US has done nothing but screw us over since World War II. Well, you can say that again, Jackson. That's a fact. We haven't exactly made it easier for ourselves either. But I watch this conflict just as I have the Ukraine conflict. And I am reminded by how much of a failure the American empire has been. The entire world hates it and they deserve it. Paradoxically, as a British patriot, I've been pushed to sympathize with Russia and Iran over our supposed allies. Thanks. Keep up the good work." Yeah, I do think that one of the reasons that the world hates the American empire is because they've allowed the special interest group that we've been talking about to sabotage their empire. They've allowed this unprincipled exception to cause a lot of damage, basically. And that's why a lot of people hate it. One of the reasons. Studio Rayner says, "I think you need to..." So this is on public opinion does not matter. Five lessons. "I think you need to clarify this now." Do I? Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't want to clarify it, Studio Rayner. Anyway, he says, "I think I need to clarify this now that we have universities using AI to see if they can change people's minds on social media." So it's more like public opinion is whatever the regime wants now, at least online. "The internet is truly the best form of propaganda ever invented by mankind." Oh, well, what you're talking about there, Studio Rayner, is manufacturing consent using the tools available. I never said that manufacturing consent was not a thing. All I said was is that public opinion does not matter. I refer you to page one of The Populist Illusion, where across 1,700 different policy areas and 1,700 different laws passed by Congress, there was a near zero correlation with what the public wanted. I mean, look at what happened in the past week. Majority of Americans don't support Israel anymore. Majority of people do not support the idea of America getting involved on Israel's behalf. About 85% are against that. They still did it. Still happened. As one of many examples. Look at immigration. You know. So, yeah, but they still try to manufacture consent, of course, because every regime needs legitimacy. They need legitimacy. That's a different thing. Willie McCannon says, "Hi, AA. This is on In Defense of Emperor Palpatine, my classic Star Wars video." He says, "In your view, are there other characters from film and television like Palpatine who are portrayed as the villain, but really they are the hero of the story? Also, did you get my super thanks on the Cobra Kai video from the AA Culture Channel? All the best, Willie." Well, it may be quite tricky for me to check the AA Culture Super Thanks right now, but I will have a look, and if I come across it, I'll read it next week, okay? Yeah, there are plenty of... Because the Boomer Truth regime has basically an inverted moral order where the traditional seven virtues, as outlined by Thomas Aquinas, are seen as vices and the traditional vices are seen as virtues in a kind of topsy-turvy moral compass that has, arrested the boomer mind. And because of the effect where anything that the mid-century Germans were into is automatically go straight to Hitler, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Because of that, a lot of things that were traditionally seen as heroic or virtuous are now embodied in villains, and a lot of things that have traditionally been seen as bad are embodied in the heroes. I can't think of any right on the top of my head, but there are plenty. If we really sat down and went through film by film, there are probably tons of people who, you know, you could do the Palpatine treatment on, I would say. In fact, there was a thread on Twitter made on exactly this topic yesterday by that, was it Cat Girl Kulak or something? So have a look for that. I quote tweeted it, so you can have a look because people are talking about it there. Clarence Bodica on, this is on the absolutely classic Cigar Stream 60, The Weimar Republic, which is available to channel members. He says, I have been meaning to listen to this stream for a good while. It is amazing how much history repeats itself. I wonder how many times before this has happened. It just proves to me liberal political elites are the cesspit of civilization. Funny how they leave so much out when we cover this in school. Absolutely mind-blowing stream, as it will always remain. Alphonse Rides Again says, I'm thinking of making some Iranian food this week in solidarity. Any recommendations? Well, I really like Iranian macaroni, they call it. Macaroni made in the Iranian style. Where, I mean, you'd have to look up a recipe, but they basically get a pile of pasta and they mix it together with a bolognese, basically. You know, they make some sort of onion and mince mix and a sauce, typical. And then they basically put like a massive bowl over it. So when the pasta is served, it's like a dome, right? And I think they put saffron in it, so it kind of looks pretty as well. That is an amazing dish that I've only ever had in Iran or had in Iranian circumstances. He also says, is it a coincidence that all this escalated just after Musk's exit from the US government? Neocons reasserting control of the American state power against the nascent tech bro counter elite? Hard to say, because you could argue that the fact it didn't escalate into a full-blown war did come from the tech bro side, right? The Palantirs, the Peter Thiels, etc. Reina says, any betrayal you can see is trivial. That is the truly frightening, and far more lethal is the betrayal that you cannot see. Grok says, I don't recall Pakistan being on the list of countries that the neocons wanted to take out. So it certainly is strange how Pakistan is being slowly woven into this situation. Well, let's not forget, China backs Pakistan against India. Right? That is where Pakistan may be woven in, because India has become quite Zionist recently, if you notice. The China hawks benefit the most from a successful regime change in Iran. Since then, Pakistan has enemies on both fronts. Remove Iran and Pakistan, so China has no influence in the Middle East. I doubt this was a political decision. I think it was one made by the military elites themselves. Well, that was before the big rug pull by Trump. Maybe it was a political decision, masquerading as a military one. And all of the military ones are looking at the US strike on Iran and being like, yeah, there was actually no military purpose served by this at all. It was all political theater. Old School Monasis says, this is on my very old video, Elite Theory, Giantano Mosca and Vilfredo Pareto. Elite theory is a bit too deterministic. I'll stop you there, Old School Monarchist. It is not too deterministic. It is absolutely correct. So you're already wrong. It's exactly what somebody like Ted Cruz would want you to believe. No, it's not. Ted Cruz wants me to believe in democracy and the will of the people and all that bullshit. So don't give me this shit. Ted Cruz does not believe, does not sell the people of America elite theory. No, he doesn't. However, elites are bound by mythology and nature and are fundamentally selected by the masses. No, they're not. That's bullshit. Russians detested democracy, preventing an organized minority from transforming Russia into a democracy. Conversely, the organized minority absolutely fucked over Russia before that happened. Let's not forget, they absolutely under Yeltsin tore that country apart. And it took Putin, took the Russian hero Putin, to turn that situation around. Conversely, Americans cherish democracy, preventing an organized minority from establishing monarchy in the USA. Bollocks! An organized minority massively runs the USA. The fuck are you talking about, mate? No offense or anything, but what are you talking about? An organized minority doesn't run America? What fucking country are you living in? America is one of the most entrenched oligarchies anywhere in the world. And it is obvious that it has a ruling class. Look at the ruling class. Look at Joe Biden. He's been in politics for 60 straight years. He's an 80-year-old man. And he was the president last year. Nancy Pelosi's still sitting there. The fuck are you talking about? The mythology plays a much larger role than the elites themselves. Shocking super chat, old school monarchist. Absolutely shocking. F, see me. Studio Rainer says, Trump is a reality TV host, not a president. I'm sure I did that one before. Australian Racial Superiority says, I can honestly see Trump and the Israelis declaring a fake ceasefire and wagging their finger at Iran for breaking it. That's the exact tactic a shoddy businessman like Trump would use. Also, why good businessmen don't make good political leaders, like some free market worshippers seem to think. Well, I mean, looking back, it seems like the Israelis did try to do that, but Trump shouted them down. So it didn't go that way. That's not to say they won't break it, because Israel always breaks their ceasefires. This is on by the same super chatter on Deepest Law 192, horrible high-rise flats built in the 1960s. He says, I don't see where Horace is coming from, blaming this on the government, when it was only the customer. This is clearly a problem of the capitalist free market. All these issues were ignored to save time and increase profits on the part of the private contractors, expressly against the wishes of the customer. Same with all the lies told and the regulations ignored. The only thing you could pin on the government is not intervening more and more thoroughly in the construction processes. The Soviet equivalents of these tower blocks are just as ugly, but they are still standing, being lived in today, precisely because they weren't built for profit but for function. Ideological attachment to the free market is stupid. Entirely free markets have never existed literally and have failed every time they've been tried on a large scale, just like communism has. Well, Horace is not here to defend himself, but take that, Horace. Take that, Murray Rothbard, you've been told. So maybe if he hears this, he can address that point next week, on next week's Deepest Law. Roman Henk says, we did that one yesterday. Same super chatter, Australian Superiority says, this is on Discover Your True Geocultural Identity in just minutes. It is my opinion that Australia, despite being an island nation founded by Anglo-Celts, is in fact not a thalassocracy, not an island people, and not a laissez-faire, middle-class-orientated culture. Despite Australia now being quite coastal and heavily urbanised, all the Australian heroic archetypes and all the stereotypes are of the land. The drover, the bush ranger, the digger, the swagman, all of them. Australia does not idolise navy men, businessmen, entrepreneurs, etc. Australia is not really an island. It's a continent about the size of the United States or non-Russian Europe. And its story, Australia is about the size of the United States. Is that true? Is Australia the size of the USA? No, Australia is not the size of the USA. We're looking at 9.83 million square kilometers for the USA, 7.69 million. So it's okay. It's within touching distance. USA is only 27% larger than Australia. Well, blow me. Okay, I'll give it to you. Okay. He says, and its story is one of island expansion and self-sufficiency. Almost all of our wars have been expatriatory and essentially our army being shipped somewhere and fighting a land battle. Yes, like in the Great Emi War. Isn't that right? The Great Emi War. Our military and military culture is heavily ground forces based. Australian political and economic traditions, too, are much less apprehensive of state intervention and are heavily moulded by unions and the labour tradition, so much so that our politics is basically just the Labour Party, older and more competent than yours, by the way, versus everyone else in a desperate coalition. Australia was essentially governed by some type of democratic, white nationalist Anglo-fascism prior to the 1950s. We are a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of drought and flooding rains. I love her far horizons. I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. The truth is that we are a lot more like the Germans in cultural character, and a lot of people in the British Isles and America realize. Interesting super chat, sir. Interesting super chat. What about the theory, though, that basically it's just a prison colony? That the basic structures of Australia are much like those of a prison, where the government is the prison warders, and the population is just the prison population. That I can't remember. I think it may have been Chris Gard who may have said that to me. But so one of my Aussie mates said that to me once, and I've never forgot it, because it was during the whole COVID madness about why Australia was so hardcore. And it was like, well, yes, yeah, it's the wardens and the prisoners. Of course, when you talk about Australia, I grew up watching Prisoner Cell Block H, so I automatically think of prisons because of that as well. Nat Small says, in our circles, it's easy to forget that a large portion of Trump's base is very pro-Israeli. If he was seen as abandoning Israel, he would lose them. Losing in the midterms would be the end for Trump, because the Democrats will impeach him as soon as they have the chance. I'd like to see that theory tested, because I think that the anti-Israel voices are larger and stronger than the pro-Israel ones. And I think that ultimately the pro-Israeli MAGAs would be loyal to Trump over Israel, in my opinion. Not the donors, I'm talking about the plebs. Ken Nahara says, if it's unclear if you know what you could sense the stress caused by this rhetoric related to the Strait of Hormuz in East Asia. This is our friend in Japan, of course, Ken Nahara. He says, in European societies where the US is dominant, smaller leaders feel compelled to copy the dominant power's words as if they had authority to state them. China intervened and may have saved us. So why would we state that Japan intervened? If Stalin made an order and all his henchmen repeated it as their statement, they'd be put in the gulag. Is this what democracy does to a society? Well, the truth is that Europe has become extremely supine to America, and there's no longer any pretense of any of the European nations being independent, to the extent where Mark Rutger called Trump daddy yesterday in an extremely embarrassing episode. Extremely embarrassing. Ornithology Rock says, I hope this is the end of Bibi's career. Trump was swamped by his base, but Netanyahu will keep pushing for war as long as he holds power. I doubt whoever comes after Trump, whether it's Vance, Newsom, or someone else entirely, will care as much about public opinion. Well, we will see what happens. I don't have enough of a read on Israeli politics to know if Netanyahu survives. What I will say is, though, is that he survived every other time. He has always survived in the past. So if I had to make a bet, I'd say he's going nowhere, personally. Ash says, what is the obsession with Stix Hexenhammer? That geezer is a complete nutcase. He beats women and he thinks he can do black magic. Well, he's just a normie MAGA influencer in my mind. So I mention Stix as an example of where kind of normie MAGA base might be on any given topic. That's why. I don't love him or anything. He's just someone who I use as a barometer to see where the base are. I've got, you know, who are my normie barometers, people? Tim Pool, Dr. Steve Turley, Stick Sexenhammer, Crowder. These are just kind of normie influencers, you know. Son of the Leviathan says, this fake sentiment of anti-war is hiding a genuine sentiment that Iran is the wrong war. The core institutions in the US are primarily concerned with protecting the myths and citizenship and the right to vote. We've passed the threshold on this issue, and it will become visible next election, mainly within our swing states. If the Union is to survive, a war with Mexico will occur, and it will look like how Russia invaded Ukraine. If the Union is to collapse, then it will be indicated by state secession. What would you consider the indicator that Britain has collapsed? Scottish independence would be one of them. Scottish independence would be a good indicator that Britain is done. Son of Leviathan says, you should do a video on the true purpose of ICE is. I thought the true purpose of ICE is what it says, protecting the border. What is the true purpose of it? I don't know. That was on Did a Secret Agency Really Control the Civil Rights Revolution, which was my expose on the civil rights, what are they called? The CRS, Community Relations Service. Ken Nahara on yesterday's video, why Iran is celebrating victory over Israel. He says Iran was going to slow down the Strait of Hormuz. From what I've seen, China had to ask both the US and the Israel to cease hostilities directly. China had already asked Iran, but given that Iran was defending itself and Israel is also violating the NPT treaty, I suppose China escalated. If the US had a strong industrial base or any real industrial base at all, taking out China like that would have worked. If that conflict had continued, the result would have been a global depression and the collapse of the US dollar. I'm not even sure if that was the intention, but in either case, why does the US feel the need to make everything uncertain? A very good question, my Asian friend, Ken Nahara. What I heard was this, right? I heard the Iranians shot a single flare, not a missile, not a rocket, a flare into the Strait of Hormuz, which put the world in absolute blind panic, basically. And that is why the ceasefire came so quickly, because they shot a single flare into the Strait of Hormuz. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard. Anti-Human says, how can you be into elite theory and yet fail to realize that the president of the USA is nothing more than a symbolic figurehead? Eisenhower was the last president whose authority was clear. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Your video about the Civil Rights Agency was really great. Perhaps create a playlist and include your elite theory research videos, setting them apart from videos aimed at the general public. What I would say, Anti-Human, is take a look at my book, The Populist Delusion. Buy it now, right? If you want to see something that's not aimed at the general public, read my book.
There's a lot of great information and history in this book, and even a mystery trick that you can learn at the end. So take it from me, Kenneth Michael Benbow Blake. This is a great book to read, so pick it up at your local library now.
And you can have a look at my Substack. All the articles on my Substack are free. And you can have a look at the articles I've written. MAGA as the Kali Yuga. How the regime wanted Trump. How dare you, sir, accuse me of not understanding this. I literally said the regime wanted Trump. And took shit from boomers like, what's his name, that shampoo guy? I took shit from the likes of him. Who told me with a straight face, oh, you're wrong about everything, EA. Israel's not a big deal. How can you say this? You're a joke. I quoted Brian Beletic earlier on, saying MAGA is deep state branding. How dare you? Anyway, Anti-Human, has come in with another super chat, a very big super chat for £50 or $50. Thank you very much, sir. I take back my chidings. Neither of you sent me £50. I feel bad. He says, this is the best explanation for the woke phenomenon. Given the agency's years of growth and its natural attraction to those seeking to destroy America, I'm sure they have a massive budget. Perhaps they wanted to ensure they had more secret police agencies and funding for them than the Soviets could ever dream of. If Tucker, Candice, and the broad online conservatives media had any intention to end the circus, why don't they ever mention this agency? Oh, that's right. It's because they profit from the work the CRS has done. If you haven't seen it, Anti-Human, you can watch my chat with Aaron McIntyre for more on that, because I went on his show. Ken Nahara says, this began with a special film based on a Swish legend. This is on old video, Zoomers Are Coomers, an absolute classic in the AA back catalogue. Zoomers Are Coomers. We're taking a trip down memory lane today, aren't we, folks? On Zoomers Are Coomers, he says, this began with a special film based on a Swish legend, which Europeans loved. Now it's called Anime. Unfortunately, the European and American markets didn't want wholesome stories. They wanted bizarre art. And then a massive influx of young tourists would come to Japan. And I genuinely wish our cultures had never met. Absolutely based, sir. Absolutely based, Ken Nahara is, in all ways. However, one thing I will say, as a fan of pro wrestling and as a fan of Japanese pro wrestling, I would say that the meeting of America and Japan did give us Japanese pro wrestling. So, like, where would the career of Jumbo Tsuruta be without the meeting of those? So many great matches we wouldn't have got without. So that's one thing. Also, what about Ken from Street Fighter 2? He wouldn't exist without America and Japan meeting either, would they? So, you know. Alphonse Rides Again says, you can tell Sadiq Khan isn't an Islamist from his lack of facial hair. He will play up his Muslim identity when it suits him, but he's basically a techno-globalist. I agree. Sadiq Khan is just a shitbait, basically. Principled Uncertainty from, again, the Zoran Mamdani video from earlier on today. Principled Uncertainty says, I don't always agree with you, but over the years, you have never failed to make me both laugh and think. I'll now let myself out. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. Jackson, on a review of Iran-Israel War, that was yesterday's stream with Simon Roberts and Horace. He says, good afternoon, AA. Well, good afternoon, Jackson. I wish to bring something up, which I believe we value-free analysts often overlook, and rightly so, due to the social onlook that arises with it. He says, the question of fascism has intrigued me in the past few months. Is it not a rebellion against a merchant-led order, the rule of the warrior class? Many of their ends include self-sufficiency, protectionism, banning, limiting, countervailing forces, enforcing moral standards such as outlawing pornography, instilling familial values, and all of this is top-down. Well, I mean, a very shorthand way of putting all of that, Jackson, is that fascism means when the right uses power. Fascism means when the right uses power. That's the only definition that is wide enough to capture how people generally use it. To your point, I generally think that you're right. It is, in Oswald Spengler's terms, it is when force is used against the money power. That's how Spengler puts it, when force is used against the money power. When a Caesar figure uses their power to act against the merchant class. Right? So what's the difference then between that and communism? Right? Well, the difference is in the emphasis for why it's being done. Right? So when the communists do it, they're doing it for equality. They're doing it in the name of the workers. They're doing it in a way that kind of tries to flatten the natural inequality of man to man. Okay. Whereas in fascism, hierarchy is built in. They have no problem saying, well, this guy is above this guy. This guy's where he is you know, on his own merit, so on. So this is the big difference between communism and fascism. If you want to speak in very crude terms, he says, no, it's not nice, but this individualist liberal mindset thinking for us. History has taught us that societal standards must always be imposed by force if necessary. So why hasn't it been achieved? The merchant class has been successful in its subversion. Let's remember that Germany was heralded as a success story until 1938. They lie so much in news outlets and media of all sorts. They lie about the history of Europeans. Why? Because it's good for them. If I was a merchant, I'd do it too. But many now see them as an obstacle to overcome. As boomers die off in the next couple of decades, I believe that we will see the arrival of many great reactionaries. I'd say that you're my primary influence in political thought as a student of PPE in England. But I feel that some part of your soul is reluctant to let go of the liberal post-war American dream. Regardless, have a good day, and I'll get out now. Well, it's not so much about being reluctant. It's about what you've known and how you're formed, right? And what your kind of basic instincts are. I talked about this yesterday when I said that, you know, still in some ways a 90s liberal. It's very hard to let go of those things, you know. I mean, it is said, you know, like Stalin, you mentioned Stalin, right? He was brought up, he was like the son of a priest or something like that, okay? The son of a priest. And it is said that even despite all of the shit he did, that he retained some core of that, some core of his upbringing, even like when he was 50 or 60. So it's very hard, right, to get rid of the core that forms at some point, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. The core is set. Now, if you're speaking in this way, Jackson, maybe your core has been set in a different way. But I grew up in the 90s. You grew up now, right? And there's a big difference between those two things as well. So there we go. And that is the final super thanks. Now, there are also super chats, which I will get onto now. Let's have a look at super chats. Okay, quite a lot of super chats too. Let's hit the ones here first, and then I'll pick out any others. Chris Primer says, shalom, shalom. Can I offer you a loan? I don't want a loan, mate. I said that the only loan I would ever get in my life is a mortgage. I have never taken out a loan. I've never been in debt. I've never been overdrawn. This is the only one. And soon, hopefully, I won't have a mortgage anymore either. So, yeah. It's the one thing I've never liked, buying things on credit, never maxed out a credit card. Always try to live within my means, me. I'm like that. And I think it's a good way to be. It gives you, you know, even if we live in a fiat money system, right, you can still act as if it's hard currency, basically. Principal Uncertainty said, thanks for finding the humor in the horror. Well, thank you very much, sir. Like I was talking about earlier on, if you are basically on the path of, you know, of the initiate, you are basically immune to a lot of the shit, right? You can kind of distance yourself from it to a certain extent. And even if you can feel like, yeah, you can get angry at certain things, you can feel the emotions, but they're not controlling you, right? There's always some level of distance between yourself and what's happening. And I can't really... It's kind of hard to get into how you get there on a stream like this. But Maximus Aquila says, are you going to the Witan AA? At present, Maximus, I don't have plans to go to the Witan, no. Principled Uncertainty says, as Brian Burroughs said, never get involved in a boy-girl fight. I assume you're talking about the recent war. but you could be talking about something else. Your Sake says, Trump and Bibi pulled off an impressive long con to prep for the strike. All that kayfabe about Witkoff forcing Bibi into a truce and affecting a rift, etc. Yeah, there's so much bullshit, isn't there? There's so much bullshit. AD Fini says, low for Tory leader, then PM is going to happen. Absolutely, Lowe is going to be the next prime minister. Lowe is going to be the Tory leader, and he's going to be the prime minister after that. It is destined to happen. It is inevitable. He will pull the sword from out of the stone. Reform, who are currently set to sweep, are paper champions, friends. They are paper. They are placeholders. They are a mirage. The Farage mirage, let's call it. Because really, Lowe is the man. Red-pilled pharmacist says, wishing you all the best. Thank you for all you do. Well, thank you very much, Red-pilled pharmacist. Been a while since I've seen you, sir. Nyotsu says, I believe Trump was going to do regime change until Medvedev told Trump that every country is willing to give Iran nuclear warheads. Also, Israel had to use the entire NATO to stop the missiles. I suppose we'll never know what truly happened. So we can only guess. The Wooster says, I've heard many conspiracies that sleeper assets exist throughout the IRGC brass, and these assets coordinate with US-Israel assassinations to take place to increase the military's power over the mullahs and broker peace deals. Well, the Wooster, that may have been the case up until 2 weeks ago, but there's been an absolutely massive crackdown. A massive purge in Iran. I think over 700 people have been arrested, connected with the Mossad. Two people have been executed. Probably more will follow. Indians are being strip searched as they try to enter the country. So there is, it's going to be maximum security in Iran, in the next couple of months. So maybe they've blown their cover in a way. They've blown their cover because now the Ayatollah is on high alert. High alert. Your Sake says that Israeli foreign policy calculus no longer works if every time they do a provocation, the Iranians attack an invaluable strategic resource in Israel. Yeah, the fact is that, it's like they're so used to shooting fish in a barrel. When they come up against an actual country, an actual peer-to-peer competitor, they shit their pants. That's basically what happened. They were hoping that their blitzkrieg at the start, their sneak attack, their shock attack would be enough, but it failed. Rob Noogle says, Hi, AA. If you would, please check out Apollonian Germ's latest video on Iran's ruling elite and their demise. I'd like to know what you think of it. Okay, I'll check that out. Chetnik says, I would love to see you and Jonathan P. U. talk. I feel like there's much to be spoken on and are talking in parallel in different circles. Okay, why not if he's up for it? Ron Wiki says, thoughts about the video on schools on the left? I don't know. I'd need to research that because my knowledge of what's going on in the left is limited these days. Nath says, I'm behind in the video, but don't do finance accounting degrees. You end up doing more exams to get certified. I know because I don't have a degree and I'm doing the equivalent of a master's on the job. Jason Gray says, in Australia, there are now more people born in India than born in the UK. TP says, do you think that Kubrick's films are subversive? If there's a central theme in it, it seems to be the folly of Faustian man. Yet they're also brilliant and absent of the saccharine sentimentality of Spielberg. I mean, my default answer is that I don't think Kubrick was subversive. I think Kubrick was a genius, but I'd have to watch them again, really. I've never really seen the subversion in Kubrick. Brulaham says, don't you know the British are behind the rise of Muslim radical ruling NYC? Proof that we do not control anything. Luongo and Stormy, probably. They've been awful. The worst one is Alex Kramer. That guy is a joke. He's a joke. Sorry, not sorry. Those guys are ridiculous at the moment. Absolutely ridiculous. Max Rosanke said, did you see my super chat earlier? I posted it right before the stream started. Yes. Recently, I watched your videos on great movies and books that you recommended. Have you read Alul, Technological Society, or watched Nicholas Rogue's Walkabout? I have not watched Walkabout by Rogue. I have read some Alul. Now, that Technological Society is a big, thick book, so I've only read bits of it, but I have read of Alul. Blue says, how's your blood pressure? I had to cut back on cigars because of mine. What have cigars got to do with blood pressure, Blue? I think my blood pressure's fine. Yesterday I did monk fast. I've been trying to do monk fast Mondays. If you don't know what a monk fast is, you stop eating at dinner time, 8 p.m., say, right? And then you don't eat for a full day, and then you have breakfast the following morning. Monk fast. On Monday, I forgot to do my monk fast, so I did it yesterday instead. I got through it fine. I don't know. I've got a free health check at the GP. I'm old enough now to get free doctor's health checks. I haven't responded to it yet, but maybe I'll go and get it checked out. Why not? Roman Help says, the last 2 weeks have been phenomenal. It's been a ton of fun in here during this shit show. Keep it up. Pow! Scorcher! Now get out. Well, thank you very much, Roman Henk. TP says, Khomeini was hanging out in Paris before he took power. I wonder if one puppet wasn't swapped out for another. It was Saddam who was killed. Interesting. There are conspiracy theories in Iran about all of that, of course. But then the Iranians are very conspiratorial people. Okay, guys. Okay. Buy a course at the academic agency. Promo code Scorcher. Pow. I'll be back next week. I'm going to flee the heat tomorrow. I'm going to definitely book somewhere and bugger off for the weekend. And I'll see you next time.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.